Interpretive this evening. Thank you for coming out on this winter night in January. And the thing that's been interesting to my wife and me, we kind of keep tabs on what's going on back in the United States, and it's been warmer here for several days than it was back in Kansas City, which is very unusual. No, we're leaving Friday. And it's supposed to. It's interesting because they had it so cold today that they didn't even have schools going because of the cold. The wind chill was what today, Donna?
It's not the same to them. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but anyway, it was minus 46. Okay. And so, but by Saturday, it's going to be very warm there. So anyway, that's the way it goes. But good to have you here this evening. Have a little project for you tonight we're going to work on in a little bit. So did everyone get an outline? It should have been in your prayer sheet there. And so if you'll go ahead and make sure you have that. If you don't have it, I'm sure we can get one to you. Anybody need one? Looks like everyone has one. But we're going to get to that here in just a little bit. You have an outline and the blanks are already filled in. Now, that doesn't mean you can leave. You know, we got to stay here. But anyway, so it really has been a blessing to be here. This is actually our last service that we'll be in. And Kevin and Holly and the team, Lord willing, will be back tomorrow afternoon. I think, they're in flight this evening, right? Leaving about now? Okay, so they're leaving Rome about this time. And then they're going to be flying all night. And Lord willing, late tomorrow afternoon. And then we catch a very early flight on Friday, like 6 a.m., which means we'll be leaving very early from here to get out there and actually get in late that afternoon into Kansas City. I have Saturday and then Sunday I actually leave. I have a couple of conferences, board meeting, a lot of things next week. It's one of my busiest weeks of the year, actually, is next week. The first week of February is always that way. But so it worked out well to be in here. But we've had such a good time. Thank you again for your warm hospitality. We've certainly enjoyed that while we have been here. And people continue to ask me, like, what do you do? In fact, I just told somebody, they say, you keep pretty busy? And I said, well, my motto these days is when you work cheap, you get a lot of opportunities. And that's kind of the way that it works. I guess you'd say I'm semi-retired. I think my wife says I'm busier than I ever was, but I enjoy doing what I do. I actually have a new title at our church. I'm the edification pastor. Kind of picked that title myself because I head up a lot of the edification ministries, small group ministries for adults. I team teach an adult Sunday school, and then I head up all the fellowship activities. We have a big dinner. Some call it a banquet, but I call it a dinner next Friday night with two other churches, our son-in-law's church and another church that we started some years back. And then we have, we're actually being served by the teens, and they're presenting the music for the evening. And it's right at the tail end of a conference that we host there, an educators conference. So actually one of the speakers from the conference will be our speaker at that. And so a lot of things that are going on next week. And so we'd appreciate your prayers as we go back. We look forward to that. Second thing that I do right now, I think I mentioned this the other night, but I head up a four-state area of Christian schools. It's called the Mid-America Association of Christian Schools. It's part of the American Association. So it's part of the National Association. I'm the executive director of that. And actually in the process of transitioning that over to some younger guys. And then I head up these student leadership conferences, which I've mentioned just a little bit, which really focus on having a biblical worldview and developing a ministry mindset. And they're really growing. And we actually by next year we'll be up to six part-time staff on that. And really what we do there is what we say is we help good kids become godly servants. In other words, we come alongside of homes. We come alongside of local churches like this. We come alongside of Christian schools and try to help them to raise the bar of not just being good, but being godly. Everywhere I go, you know, I'll be at a church, let's say, and somebody will come up and say, you know what, we just have some good kids here. And that's great. But as I mentioned the other day, we shouldn't be content just to be good, because God's standard is to be godly. So we try to come alongside and help that, and we're seeing some good things happen. We've actually expanded that little phrase now, and we say, because we do these Worldview Sundays and things like we've been doing here, and we say we help good kids, help good staff members, and help good, faithful churchgoers to become godly servants. So we try to hit the whole gamut there. So those are the things that I do. And by the way, let me just mention, if you would like, if you're interested in seeing more about what SLC, which is the Student Leadership Conference Ministry, is, you could go on our website. All you need to do is go to and then it's SLC, standing for Student Leadership Conference, slcinfo.org. And it'll tell you all about the conferences. It'll tell you where conferences are. And there'll be testimonies from conferences, follow-up material. Want me to give it again?
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I notice on the internet that we are seeing that they are now promoting Marxist Democrats in the state. How worried are you of this effect?
Well, we've been fighting that for a number of years. There's no question about it. One of the things that the American Association does, they actually have an office in Washington, D.C., and we really work and we have full-time staff to focus on having biblical family values. And so we work on that very diligently. It's also an organization of state organizations. So each of our states has a state organization of it, and we work with that as well. And so, like in our capital, Jefferson City, Missouri, and so forth. So I don't know if I'd use worried as the term, because we all know that God's in control. And yet, some of the things that you're fighting here, we're not too far behind you, to be quite honest. And we have a lot of liberal, very liberal Democrats that want to take control, and they would love to have, you know, I mean, what they promise is everybody gets everything free. I don't know who's going to pay for it, but, you know, everything free. And so there are struggles with that, but fortunately there's a lot of good conservative and biblical Christians around that keep working at it and keep praying. And so we all face that at all times. All we have to do, and I might have mentioned this the other day, but you know, you just go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and you look, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, and it goes on and on. And when you read it and you think, wow, I mean, I read that and I think, this is the United States today. Read that and you think, this is where we are in Canada today. And we're in the last days. And we don't know, but that's where we pray and seek to be all that God would have us to be while we have the time to do that. So good question, though. Now, let me just mention again, I'll give you that again, www.slcinfo.org. I think that's on that sheet out there, too, isn't it? Yeah. Is it in there? It's okay. It's in, actually, great. Lori put it in there for tonight. I was talking to somebody today, and they said, oh, you're up there filling in for your son. I said, well, actually, Lori's here running the place, and I just kind of hang out at the services here, and that's what's really going on. But great things that are taking place. And then let me just mention that I asked Lori if she'd put a sign-up sheet out there, because different people have inquired about getting more information about the ministries that we have through SLC and the Worldview Conferences and so forth. And there's a sign-up sheet out there on the counter, you know, in the lobby. And if you want, if you'd be interested in getting more information, you could just put your name, your email, and your phone number, and we'd be happy to get you on our mailing list to get those things going. So that's what's taking place there. Okay, let's do just a little bit of a review first. So I've been here since a week ago Sunday night. Don and I have been here. Had a great time with the grandchildren and a great time with the services and the folks here. Really enjoyed that. But let's think back for just a little bit. Many of you have been at all those services, and that's encouraging to us. But remember, a week ago Sunday night, we began talking about worldview, and we gave an overview of that. Actually, the message was entitled, Becoming the Leader That God Intended You to Be. And we started by looking at Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, when Christ was asked, what's the great commandment? And he said, it's to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And then the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we've been zeroing in on those. Those were kind of the overview. And what we gave on that Sunday night was seven principles of leadership that were taught by Christ, taught by his life, taught by his teachings, and so forth. And that was kind of an overview of what biblical worldview is. Then last Wednesday night, we were here, and the topic was Why Be Different. It actually had to do with Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, where it talks about being salt and light. And the first thing that I said, though, because we were talking a little bit about leadership, and there were two statements that I hope you'll really keep with you. That number one is that every person is a leader because every person has influence. We all have influence in the lives of other people, probably much more influence than we even realize many times. And yet the influence that we have, I remember being at a funeral a few years back, and there was this long line of people waiting at the they were in line to go by and greet the spouse and greet the family members and so forth. And it was a pretty long line, so it took about an hour to get through the line before the funeral. And I remember I was hearing all these people talk about this person and the impact that that person had had on their lives. And here's the question that came to me. I wonder if we ever shared with the person while they were living how they impacted our lives. Or were we just sharing with one another when actually didn't have the opportunity? And so we all have influence. As a result, every person is a leader. And so that's an important thing for us to consider as we seek to live our lives for God, live our lives for other people. Secondly, that every person can be the best kind of leader. And last Wednesday night, I actually gave you four types of leadership. We talked about positional. That's when we have a title, a position. We talked about personality leadership. That's when someone likes being around you. And so as a result, you have a great influence in their lives. Then there's competence leadership, meaning using our gifts and abilities that we have to be able to be an influence in the lives of other people. And then we said the fourth type, though, is the best type. Even the secular world says that this is the best type of leadership, and it's character or example leadership. And the thing that I learned as a young Christian, as I began to study leadership, was, wow, it doesn't take ability to be the best kind of leader. It just takes obedience. And so I think those are two important statements. We began talking last week. We looked at salt and light. Spent a little bit of time looking at that. And actually gave three statements. I don't know if you have your outline for last Wednesday night, but we talked about from Matthew 5, number one, that if we're going to make a difference in the lives of other people, we have to be different ourselves. And we looked at the definition of different. That it means distinct. It means unlike most others. The second thing that we saw in Matthew 5:13 is that if the salt doesn't have its seasoning, it's good for nothing. And you might as well just throw it on the ground because it's good for nothing. And that if we just seek to be average, kind of go with the flow and be with like everybody else, then really we are not fulfilling the responsibility that God has entrusted to us to be that salt and light. And then the third statement was that you can't change the quality of something, whether it be our home, whether it be our workplace, influence in the lives of other people, wherever we are, Christians, non-Christians alike, even the church, if all we are is more of the same. We need to seek to be what God would have us to be. And that really brought us into where we were last Sunday morning. Because last Sunday, we took the time to look at two what I like to call life principles. And the first one was given in the service on Sunday morning. I actually gave it twice, two different services. And it came out pretty much the same, I think. But was the fact of the principle that lets your purpose prioritize your life. We looked at Romans chapter 12, we looked at verses 1 and 2, and we looked at four characteristics of distinction that really come from Romans chapter 12. We use the words right from the verses there, the word present. That means to have a different goal. In fact, if you look on your outline that you just received tonight, now don't look on the rest of it yet. We'll get to that in a little while. So I don't want you to get carried away and looking at it. But if you'll go down to number 5 under let your purpose prioritize your life, it has Romans 12, 1 and 2. See that there? And it says four Christian distinctives. There they are. What we covered Sunday morning. Present a different goal. Renew your mind, a different authority. Transform different actions and attitudes. And prove a different way of handling problems. And what we were saying is really Romans 12. And of course, there's many other scriptures too that present that principle that because of the purpose that we have as a believer, to glorify God, to grow in Christ's likeness, that we are to let that be the priority of our life. And so we're going to get to the rest of those passages here in just a moment. Now we looked at life principle number 2. That one, by the way, Sunday morning was more of the, if we look at the great command, to love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And then Sunday evening, we looked at another life principle, and we called it be different on purpose. Because of the purpose in our life, be distinct. Be unlike most others. And we actually looked at Matthew chapter 5. And, we looked at 1 Thessalonians. We looked at Matthew 5 last Wednesday evening. We looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we really focused in on having love for other people. We call it the end principle. First of all, be an example to others. Be an example of what God wants us to be, first of all. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. But then secondly, a nurturing love that we should have. And that was given in verses 7 through 9. The comparison, remember, of a nursing mother with a little baby. And then the D was direction, just like a father with a son or a daughter giving direction. And those actually build upon one another. In other words, it starts with example. But what we were saying about being different is the fact that, sad to say, a lot of people just live to themselves. And they focus on themselves. And maybe even as a Christian sometimes, oh, I'm receiving, I'm getting, I'm learning, I'm growing. But who's going to be the person that I can really seek to influence this year? Should start in our home. How can I be a better influence in the lives of those that live in the same household? How can I be with coworkers? God has put us in a network of people, where we work, where we are, even where we live. And yes, even as he brings us to a local body of believers, how can we influence and impact other people? Just had lunch with a couple of men today and just really enjoyed fellowshipping with them. But one of the things we were talking about is sometimes as we get a little bit older, we think, well, you know, kind of let the younger. And yet we have so much that we've learned. How can we be used? We still can be used in a great way in the lives of other people. And so it's important for us to keep that before us. And that's what that was talking about with that nurturing love and that natural direction that comes about as a result. Okay, little so much for review there. Now, I want you to take the sheet that's in front of you. So you have it there, and it says 10 principles and practices for a winning life. I put this together, probably this outline, maybe about 3 years ago, something like that. And I actually did it on two Sunday evenings at our church, where I took the first principle, let your purpose prioritize your life. And then I walked through those five passages that are there. And then the next Sunday night, we did the next five. And had a very good response from that, and that was kind of on my mind. And then what ended up happening is, as we do these leadership conferences, I got the idea for follow-up, because we try to have a lot of follow-up. Again, the website even has a lot of follow-up on there. And I thought, you know, I ought to put those into print. I'd had the privilege of writing a couple of books, co-authoring one and writing one by myself before. And so I was starting to do that task. And then I got the idea, why don't I break it up into two? And so last year, I did the five principles of let your purpose prioritize your life. And if you were here Sunday night, hopefully you picked up one of those booklets that were out there. It's a 60-page book. And what it does, it actually goes through these five passages that are right here on your outline. So I took those last year and spent time. Those were passages that had been very meaningful to me. So this had come out of my own experience in life, where I found that it really helped me. Years ago, let me just start that way. Years ago, I took Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 as my life verses. And there's probably anybody here at Proverbs 3 and 5, 6, a life verse? Okay. Those are very familiar verses. They're great verses. Well, what I found over the years, it actually went from verses 5 through 10. And I found that as I prepare for the day, as I get up in the morning, if I would remind myself, all right, I'm a schedule guy. I've kind of got my to-do list. I know what's going on today, where I'm supposed to be and what's supposed to be happening. But even above that list, my to-do list, my greatest priority is my real purpose in life, to love God with my whole heart, first of all. And so I found that just taking Proverbs 3, first of all, 5 through 6, then it evolved into 5 through 10, and reminding myself as I'm preparing for the day to trust in the Lord with all my heart and not to lean in my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct my path. Not to be wise in mine own eyes, but to fear the Lord. And it goes on and on. And that was the first passage. And then for me, what I did for several years at least, I would go right from there to Philippians 4, which is the third one down here. And Philippians 4, where it's a pretty familiar passage where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then what does it say? Again, I say, rejoice. In other words, if I didn't get it the first time, they're going to give it to me again. Be joyful. No matter what circumstance, no matter what I'm facing, you know what? Look at what I have in Christ and to be joyful, first of all. And then it goes on, and one of the reasons that I really got into Proverbs 4, where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So it's telling me to be joyful. And then it's telling me, don't worry. I don't know about you, but I can be a real worrier by nature. You know, I grew up in a family of worriers. Now, I didn't say warriors, okay? And my mom and dad growing up, I remember, let's say they bought a newer car, okay? We needed a car, and they'd purchase it. Now, again, I wasn't from a Christian family. Good family, but they weren't a Christian family. And I can remember my dad. I mean, we'd buy this car, and then he'd he'd be all anxious. Oh, man, what if I lose my job? What if I can't make that payment? All these different, you know, and my sister and I kind of picked that up, I think, for my parents. I sometimes say, you know, for family night, my mom and dad would say, hey, let's go in the living room. And, hey, what do we want to worry about tonight? Now, it really wasn't like that, but sometimes I say it's like that. But I do remember them worrying a lot, and I kind of picked that up, and it comes very natural to me. And it was so good for me as a young believer to learn, don't just fret and be anxious, but to be prayerful about everything with thanksgiving. Remember when our children were growing up and, you know, maybe they had some big event coming up. Maybe they were trying out for a team. Or maybe they were going to, you know, they had a big project that was due. And, hey, pray about it. But whatever takes place, whatever the outcome, be thankful. Because that's God's will for us. And to be joyful, to be prayerful, to be thankful. Just those two passages alone get me focused on what's my real purpose today. And so this, actually the booklet that you picked up was kind of the outcome from me of my own experience of being able to find that these passages really helped me to zero in on letting my purpose prioritize my life. Now there's five of them there. The second one is Psalm 37. And how that one slid in before Philippians 4 is because a few years ago, I lived in Psalm 37 for about 2 years when our church back home was going through some pretty difficult times. And I had a lot of debt and all these different things were going on, and they were troubling times. And I would read in Psalm 37, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, just like it said in Proverbs 3. But then the next couple of words says, dwell there. In one's translation, dwell in the land. And that's actually chapter 2 of that book. But that would remind me, even though things aren't going the way that I want, even though it doesn't seem like God is answering, you know, prayer like we'd like. You know, my wife, she saw this, I know she's going to not appreciate me sharing this illustration, but there was this potato chip contest, okay? Lay's potato chip. Name a new potato chip, and you could win $1 million. And she thought she had the potato chip. What was it going to be?
Lemon pepper kettle.
Doesn't that sound like a good potato chip? Along with the 255 other versions that are out there in potato chips aisle. And but anyway, because she'd say, I would give it to the Lord, give it to the church, you know. And okay, Lord, let her win the potato chip cup. But she didn't. But I still had to dwell trusting the Lord, even though the potato chip entry winner didn't come in. But you know what it said next? You look at Psalm 37:3, it says this. In fact, it's right there. Look what it says in under number 2. Trust in the Lord, dwell there, look on it. It says, feed on his what? Faithfulness. To feed on his faithfulness. And wow, that's what would get me every time. Look back on how God has been so good to me. I mean, starting at salvation, and then the wonderful wife that he's given me and the family that he's given us and the many blessings over the years. And I should trust that God because he's sure been faithful to me in the past. And it would really help me in a very difficult time that we were going through as a church. And guess what? God did deliver us from the debt. And God did deliver us from, and our church, I mean, those of us that went through that, we are so rejoicing to see what God did. Because all we can say is God did it. Because we sure didn't. We didn't know how to do it. And we were about ready to go under. Now, so you see what I'm saying? Here's five passages right here that have to do with the principle of let your purpose prioritize your life. Now, then secondly, look down. You got another bullet point, be different on purpose. I have five passages there. The first one's Matthew 5, which we looked at last Wednesday evening. I love number 7, Matthew 6, 19 through 24, where he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So here's the project. Here's what I'm going to have you do for about the next 20 minutes. I don't have a sheet that gives you the questions or anything. You just have this. And here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to break up in small groups like we did last week. It could be 2, 3, 4, however you want to do it. Just find a few people around you. And I would like for you to take one passage, I don't care which one it is, of the first 5 under Let Your Purpose Prioritize Your Life. And I want you to read that passage. You can look at the simple notes that I have, but you can get more out of it from your reading. And then what I want you to discuss, which is kind of another way of saying meditate. Meditate on God's word. Let me show you one passage. Turn to the Old Testament, if you would. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Some of you know what I'm going to turn to right now. But Joshua chapter 1, and look at verse 7 and 8. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Moses is dead, and God is commanding Joshua to be his servant, to lead the nation of Israel. And he says in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And then look at verse 8. This book of the law, we're talking about God's word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall what? Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So what we're actually doing tonight is taking a little bit of time to look at a passage and meditate on it. Another way of saying that is, what does that look like? How can I, if we take Proverbs 3, how can I trust in the Lord with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding? If you're going to take, let's go to Philippians 4. All right, how can I rejoice in the Lord always? How can I pray about all things? What does that look like? And discuss that. So I want you to take one passage, I don't care which one, of the first 5 under the first life principle, and then I want you to take a few minutes for one from the second life principle, be different on purpose. All right? And so actually, I'll get to that when we pull back together. So everybody understand the project? Are you willing to do that? Okay, let's just divide up and do that. I think it might be a very good project for us and be a help and encouragement to us. Let's try doing that right now, okay? So I'm going to give you about 20 minutes or so to do that. What I'd like to do is I'd like to hear a few comments. If somebody would start us out, I'd like to hear a couple of the passages. The first one, let your purpose prioritize your life. Now, which passage did you select? And give a little, just a brief description or something that was discussed about that passage that can be meaningful. What would you say? Yes, ma'am. Okay, that's excellent. And why would we want to lean on our own understanding? And why would we try to be wise in our own eyes if we have a trust in Him and He's given us His word, which we can use? So, very good. And see, what I encourage to do, a couple of people have mentioned to me that they've already gotten into the little booklet. But in the introduction of the booklet, here's what I encourage people to do, is to take a passage. So chapter 1, and the passage was Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. And for a week, to read that passage every day. I'm not trying to say don't do anything else. You can continue on with other Bible readings and that, but read that passage every day. Sometime during the week, read the chapter, and then be studying and even meditating, okay, just like you're talking about, and to remind ourselves of doing that each and every day. And what we find, because I really do believe, you know, Joshua said that you meditate on God's word each and every day, and that we'll find that it'll come up in different things. Great table talk, you know. I mean, take a, you know, around the dinner table. Hey, what does Proverbs 3 mean? And so forth. And I said a week, but it could be a couple of weeks. You could draw it out, however. But that's what we ask you to do in the book here, is to take one chapter, one passage in particular, each week. Okay, somebody else. What'd you do? Which one did you have? Yes, sir.
We did John 15.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. That's a great passage and a great reminder. And then what does it say at the end, John 15:5? Without me, you can do nothing. Well, abiding in Christ, such a key to victorious Christian life and trusting in Him. Very good. Maybe one more on that. Somebody else. These are great. Hopefully that can be a help and encouragement to all of us. But yeah.
We did Psalm 37, verse 3 to 7. It's really interesting in there to see all the commands that are given.
Yes.
You know, it's a forceful kind of delight yourself, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land. Again, you picked up on the idea of dwell, like abide. It's don't just stay there, don't go for a vacation there, dwell there, become your home.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And you keep moving on in the Lord and spending all your time there. Make it your home.
Right. Commit your ways to the Lord. This is next night. And then rest in the Lord. That is a fantastic passage. Well, there's so much in there. We're actually right now in the, I mentioned I teach an adult Sunday school class and team teach with a friend of mine, one of the deacons back at Tri-City, and we're actually going through this book right now. This is our new series. We just started it. I actually haven't been there for because it just started 2 weeks ago. So Dave's been teaching the last 2 weeks. We're going to take about a month in each one of the chapters. I think it's an 18-week series, so there'll be a little short of somewhere around a month for each chapter, where we're going through and having our people. We gave each one of them the book and so forth. And so I'm excited. I'm getting there just in time for Psalm 37, which will be chapter 2. So Dave's doing Proverbs 3, which I would have loved to have been there for that, but with other commitments. But I'll be there for Psalm 37, which was so impacting in my life. That's great. I like that. All right, let's go to the second one here real quick. Anybody come up with something in the second one? I know I didn't give you a lot of time, but one of the passages for be different on purpose. That's very true. Isn't it interesting? Because it starts with look not on your own things, but on the things of others. And then what does it say? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. What was the mind of Christ? He made himself no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant, humbled himself, and I love the last part. He knew his purpose. He became obedient unto death, He knew his purpose, and he fulfilled his purpose. And that's how we are to, first of all, let our purpose as a believer, growing in Christ's likeness, that we bring glory to him in what we say and do. And so that's a very good one. By the way, just to let you know, now, got the book on the first one. I'm actually in the process right now of just beginning to write the next edition, which will be the one for next year on Be Different on Purpose. So Lord willing, probably the next time Don and I are back here, maybe I'll have another half a suitcase full of books that we'll bring up again and have them for you. And it'll be on these 5, 6 through 10 on here. But hopefully that'll be a little bit of a help to you. And I think this meditating, you know, so often, because we do hear, okay, we're to hear the word, that's true. We're to read the word, very true, very important. We're to study the word, yes. Even we hear memorize, and that's true, but very seldom do we hear too much on meditation. And wow, and Joshua there, you want to be prosperous and successful? Meditate on his word. And just think of these, I'll call them nuggets, these nuggets that came out tonight and the things that you were saying that can be such a help to us as we seek to live for him tomorrow. Just reminders of ourselves that we're getting from this passage of scripture. So I wanted to just put that together. I've never really done it this way before. And so I kind of tried it out on you guys tonight. And but hopefully that can be a help to us. Well, our time is gone. And as I said, it's been wonderful for Don and me to be here with you all. Hopefully these things can be a help. And we gave you the notes the last couple of weeks. Just you can go through those passages, this one here, just looking through those, study those out. Like I say, man, here's 10 great topics. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I know we should be in the Word as a family. Wow, here's 10 weeks worth of passages here. Just take a passage for a week. And it doesn't mean every night you're studying it out, but it means that, okay, maybe read the passage at the dinner table. Or, okay, let's talk about this one aspect of that and so forth, and just try to look at that. And hopefully that will really be helpers or a help to us as we seek to serve him. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, what a blessing to be here. Thank you for these folks, faithful folks. Here we are midweek. We're wanting to renew our mind. We're wanting to be reminded of what real purpose is in life. And so what a blessing to be with them. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. As we looked on Sunday morning, that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's what we seek to do. And so, Lord, even tonight, as we took a few minutes here and just hear some tremendous insights that are coming from your word as you gave them to us through it this evening. Help us to even apply those things tonight and even the remainder of this week that we might be more like you. Lord, we do pray that you'd bless the group, give them safety as they're coming home from the trip and being here tomorrow. We pray that everything will go well as far as the flights and no difficulties, even with the extreme cold in different parts of the country and so forth. So we just ask that you would guide and direct there. Lord, thank you for faithful children's workers that are working in Kids for Truth this evening. What a blessing. Pray that the children, Lord, we've been reminded this week of we need to become like a little child and have that childish faith and trust in you. And may we do that even as we've seen these passages having to deal with that. So we thank you for this time together and give us safety as we travel home. A wonderful rest of the week. And we'll thank you for what's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. Great being with you.